Oh, yeah, I can see that, said Colin.
Dorfel turned the slate round. The other side read, I give myself up for murder. It was I who killed the old priest. The crime is solved.
Colon, once his lips had stopped moving, scurried behind the suddenly very flimsy defences of his desk and scrabbled through the papers there.
You keep it covered, Nubby, he said. Make sure it don't run off.
Why is it going to run off? Said Nobby.
Sergeant Colon found a relatively clean piece of paper.
Well, I guess I'd better... What's your name?
The golem wrote,
Dorfel.
By the time he was on the brass bridge, medium-sized cobbles of the rounded sort they called catheads, quite a few missing, Vimes was already beginning to wonder if he'd done the right thing. Autumn fogs were always thick, but he'd never known it this bad. The pall muffled the sounds of the city and turned the brightest lights into dim glows, even though in theory the sun hadn't set yet. He walked along by the parapet. A squat, glistening shape loomed in the fog. It was one of the wooden hippos, some distant ancestor of Roderick or Keith. There were four on either side, all looking out towards the sea. Vimes had walked past them thousands of times. They were old friends. He'd often stood in the lee of one on chilly nights when he was looking for somewhere out of trouble. That's what it used to be like, wasn't it? It hardly seemed that long ago, just a handful of them in the watch, staying out of trouble. And then Carrot had arrived, and suddenly the narrow circuit of their lives had opened up, and there were nearly 30 men, oh, including trolls and dwarfs and miscellaneous, in the watch now. And they didn't skulk around keeping out of trouble. They went looking for trouble, and they found it everywhere they looked. Funny that. As Vetinari had pointed out in that way of his, the more policemen you had, the more crimes seemed to be committed. But the watch was back and out there on the streets, and if they weren't actually as good as detritus at kicking arse, they were definitely prodding buttock. He lit a match on a hippo's toenail and cupped his hand around it to shield his cigar from the damp.
These murders, now. No one would care if the watch didn't care. Two old men murdered on the same day, nothing stolen.
He'd corrected himself, nothing apparently stolen. Of course, the thing about things that were stolen was that the bloody things weren't there. They almost certainly hadn't been fooling around with other people's wives. They probably couldn't remember what fooling around was. One spent his time among old religious books. The other, for God's sakes, was an authority on the aggressive uses of baking. People would probably say they had lived blameless lives. But Vimes was a policeman. No one lived a completely blameless life. It might be just possible, by lying very still in a cellar somewhere, to get through a day without committing a crime, but only just, and even then you were probably guilty of loitering. Anyway, Angua seemed to have taken this case personally. She always had a soft spot for the underdog. So did Vimes. You had to. Not because they were pure or noble, because they weren't. You had to be on the side of underdogs, because they weren't overdogs. Everyone in this city looked after themselves. That's what the guilds were for. People banded together against other people. The guilds looked after you from the cradle to the grave, or in the case of the assassins, to other people's graves. They even maintained the law, or at least they had done after a fashion. Thieving without a license was punishable by death for the first offence. The Ankh-Morpork view of crime and punishment was that the penalty for the first offence should prevent the possibility of a second offence. The Thieves' Guild saw to that. The arrangement sounded unreal, but it worked. It worked like a machine. That was fine, except for the occasional people who got crushed in the wheels. The damp cobbles felt reassuringly real under his soles. God, he'd missed this. He'd patrolled alone in the old days. When there was just him and the stones glistened around 3 a.m, it all seemed to make sense somehow. He stopped. Around him, the world became a crystal of horror, the special horror that has nothing to do with fangs or Ichor or ghosts, but has everything to do with the familiar becoming unfamiliar. Something fundamental was wrong. It took a few dreadful seconds for his mind to supply the details of what his subconscious had noticed. There had been 5 statues along the parapet on this side. But there should have been 4. He turned very slowly and walked back to the last one. It was a hippo, all right. So was the next one. There was graffiti on it. Nothing supernatural had "Zaz is a wonka" scrawled on it. It seemed to him that it didn't take quite so long to get to the next one, and when he looked at it, two red points of light flared in the fog above him. Something big and dark leapt down, knocked him to the ground, and disappeared into the gloom. Vimes struggled to his feet, shook his head, and set off after it. No thought was involved. It is the ancient instinct of terriers and policemen to chase anything that runs away. And as he ran, he felt automatically for his bell, which would summon other watchmen. But the commander of the watch didn't carry a bell. Commanders of the watch were on their own.